This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outspoken. I'm so excited that it's nearly the weekend.
Oh, I am living for this weekend. I'm actually holding a housewarming, and I'm really excited because I love event planning and getting all the food ready. I mean, I'm saying event planning. It's literally like 30 people coming to my house.
I keep having a Freudian slip and referring it to it as your engagement party.
Oh, my God. Stop. Why is it a Freudian slip?
Do you know what? I know we keep saying this on the podcast, but I feel so old because this has been an event I've been looking forward to, because all my other weekends have just kind of been like hanging around watching TV in my bum clothes.
Well, it's also Mother's Day, so it's such a big weekend for us at 30 years old.
I'm also puppy sitting this weekend, so I actually have Archie's brother coming to stay with me tomorrow night, and I'm actually really nervous because I've told you all about how I've got this construction happening next door, and I actually don't have half a fence at the moment. So I've been paranoid all week that Archie will get out. So they're apparently going to build it by the weekend.
I'm more scared that you're going to end up bringing Archie and Winston to the housewarming and there's going to be absolute chaos.
Shadow would like it at least. Well, I think we should get into the social dilemma. And this one has been sparked because Love Island UK star Molly May admitted on her most recent vlog that she occasionally uses her boyfriend Tommy Fury's toothbrush.
Ooh.
She was quite torn about it and was saying, like, should she be doing this? So this is what she said on her vlog.
But here's a question for you guys. What's your thoughts on using your partner's toothbrush? such a controversial subject. I still can't make up my mind. Like, for example, my toothbrush is in my case right now. And last night couldn't be bothered to open it. So I just used Tommy's toothbrush. And guess what? I'm about to go in with it again. To be fair, I do think it's kind of disgusting. But at the same time, like, if you're kissing that person, is it really that much different?
I think she raises a pretty fair question. I mean, if you are making out with someone, I'm sure you are sort of transferring a lot of saliva back and forth. So it does seem like the same thing.
Well, I actually did a little bit of Googling because I wanted to look at this from an educational perspective. And a dentist came out and he said that basically Molly May's right. Kissing and sharing someone's toothbrush is kind of the same thing, except apparently kissing is a little bit worse because, not to be too gross, but because there's more of a transfer of saliva, the bacteria can live on that saliva.
How would you feel though if you came home and your boyfriend was like, oh, sorry, just use your toothbrush?
This actually happened to me with my ex-boyfriend. I don't know where his toothbrush was, and he suddenly was using mine, and I wasn't happy about it, but it would be offensive to make a big deal about it, I feel.
Haven't people heard of, if you forget your toothbrush, you're just meant to put a bit of toothpaste on your finger and do a bit of a clean?
It was so bad because Amy and Sophie and I have all had stints where we shared bathrooms with each other, and I remember the hideous time when you'd be brushing your teeth and realize you had the wrong toothbrush. I mean, we've shared the womb together and I still would feel so gross and throw my toothbrush out and get a new one if I found out Amy or Soph had used it.
I live with a germaphobe, and it's so funny because if he accidentally knocks my toothbrush into the wall or the tiles, he will run it under steaming hot water and be like, I'm so sorry, do you want me to do something? Should I get you a new one?
Gosh, that is very Brandon. Well, from a hygienic perspective, it is rather gross sharing a toothbrush because apparently the food particles that are naked to the human eye actually can form bacteria on them.
Yuck.
And apparently we've all got different bacteria that's unique to our own mouth. So when someone else's bacteria is mixing with yours, it can lead to some oral hygiene issues.
So you're better off just not brushing your teeth if your toothbrush isn't there, really.
Moving on from toothbrushes, would you guys share, say, an ice cream with your partner?
No.
I do vividly remember when I was working at a cafe when I was in my 20s, and you'd see these revolting couples with their arms basically on each other's asses sharing an ice cream. And it just made me sick to my stomach. Like, I think there's an absolute line being crossed there.
I have seen a father and daughter sharing an ice cream. And this is a girl who was in her 20s.
That's gross. That's pretty fucked. That is so gross. I feel bad because mum will sometimes offer me her drink bottle and it's got like lipstick all over it. I'm like, no.
I've become that person now. Yes. My drink bottle has lipstick all over it.
Mine is the same.
Well, we would love to hear what you guys think. Go to our Facebook community and tell us, would you share a toothbrush with your boyfriend or girlfriend?
He dumped me.
Oh, dear.
He left me on.
That's not strictly true, is it, Kerry?
He tried to have sex with me and then he dumped me.
Is that correct, Kerry?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
If you're interested in the truth, Kerry hands out blowjobs like they're going out of fashion, and by all accounts, I'm one of the only people to have turned her down.
I hate you!
Will, I want you to leave. What, for turning down oral sex from the Empire State Building? For trying to let her down gently rather than placing my glands into her stupid, boring mouth?
Let's get into the influencer rap, and a rather awkward dispute has erupted between Tammy Hembrough and her ex-partner Reese Hawkins on Instagram. Tammy shared a collection of images from their son Wolf's 6th birthday party, which sparked debate about Reese's whereabouts. Kate, can you tell us about what unfolded online?
Well, a troll account actually commented on Tammy's post, which has subsequently been deleted, and they wrote, "I think he tries to be in their lives, but Tammy is bitter and seems to not include Reese or invite him anywhere. She seems hard on Reese and bitter towards him seeing the kids. I don't know." He also deleted all his pics with the kids and left the ones of his fiance and his new baby, but I'm sure he has reasons too. So Tammy has seen this message on her Instagram photo and replied saying, "Definitely not bitter, laugh out loud. He could be involved as much or as little as he wants. It's not up to me. Not really anyone's business anyway, though," with a smiley face emoji.
Can I interrupt for a second? I'm so surprised she still uses laugh out loud. Like, I thought she was a bit too cool to use that. Use a ha-ha.
No, well, she should have actually used that skull emoji.
Dead emoji. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy she still uses laugh out loud because I constantly use that. Anyway, Reese Hawkins has somehow seen Tammy message back on her own photo to someone and has replied as well. And he wrote, "Exactly. It's no one's business. So why are you replying to a fake account about our personal situation? So everyone can call me a deadbeat dad. Thanks," with the clapping emoji. Now, the comments have been deleted and the troll account has also been deleted. What do you guys think? Do you think it was fair of Tammy to even respond to the commentary around Reese's whereabouts?
I think that if Tammy didn't want people talking about Reese and what he is like as a dad, she shouldn't have responded, because of course it's going to get people talking. But it's clear to me that Reese is trying to insinuate that Tammy has created a fake account to ask that question.
Really? I didn't think that at all.
I thought that, and the fact that they've all been deleted now.
We have heard about that, influencers creating Finsters to kind of spin their own narrative. Mm. It's very clever. A lot of media organizations actually do that. I think the airing of this dirty laundry is really unhelpful for the family situation. I don't think that either of them should be commenting on it.
Yeah, and from my understanding, it's not as if Tammy replies to heaps of comments on her Instagram, so it seems to be quite a strange comment to actually respond to.
Well, she actually also liked a comment that read, "Actions speak louder than words. From following these guys for years, he's missed out on Saskia's birthdays 3 years in a row. Even if it was bitter, you don't miss your baby girl's birthday." So she's liked that comment, which is kind of a passive-aggressive way at getting at Reese.
I do feel for Reese because he has been given this label of deadbeat dad just because he has chosen to remove photos of Wolf and Saskia from his Instagram page. And after listening to his podcast, I think he did initially do it because he was seeking privacy.
But it's very confusing when he then goes and uploads a photo of his new baby Stone, literally the day after they're born.
Yeah, I do understand that, but at the sense it is kind of announcing her arrival. It's not like he's sharing every moment of the newborn's life, you know, like someone like Skye Wheatley has been doing.
If I was Tammy and I went on his profile and I saw that every photo of Tammy and the kids had been deleted and the Instagram profile only now had pictures of his new girlfriend and daughter, I'd be pretty pissed off. Because if you look back at Tammy's profile, she's still got photos of him on there.
Yeah, and there's clearly a reason why Tammy is going and liking these comments and responding. She's probably not happy with the way Reese has been handling things, but that should be really kept as a private matter.
I do tend to agree, but why is Reese stalking out Tammy Hembrough's comments?
I don't think he would have been stalking them out. I'm sure he was probably tagged in the comments section a number of times. And when you do go to a prominent person's page, if they have responded to a comment, that's the first one that shows up. So I don't think he's been sitting there trawling through the comments. I just think it's a really sad situation. And we do have to remember there are kids involved in this situation. I think that they definitely should be keeping these public arguments offline.
Yeah, it's disappointing because it really clouds the birthday celebration. And it did look like an amazing day for Wolf. So hopefully he knows nothing about what's going on Instagram.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want. You guys are not good businesswomen. You don't know anything about business. But
then why are you in business with us then?
You know what? You're right. You are so right. I'm going to talk to Mom and talk to our attorneys and get out of our partnership because there's no reason why the three of us have to be in business together.
Ta-ta.
It's not worth it. You guys don't get business.
You'll miss this later, honey, when no one else will do your dirty work.
On Thursday, Steph Claire Smith and her husband Josh Miller announced the arrival of Harvey John Miller. It was a news we've all been waiting for since Steph disappeared off social media for a few days. Now, I know you guys are so excited about this news.
Oh, I've been waiting for it for, I feel like, weeks now.
Mm. I was so excited for the name and it hasn't disappointed. I knew she was going to stick to a very traditional name. And the first thing I thought was, has she named this child after Harvey from Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I couldn't believe you said that because it's so obvious it's from Suits.
Yeah, why is it obvious?
I thought it was from Suits. Because that Josh and Steph are very Suits era, I feel. Like I feel like Harvey Specter is someone that they would have loved.
Oh, I have to argue her. I think she's quite Sabrina the Teenage Witch era.
She's too young to be Sabrina.
Their dog is called Ari Gold from Entourage. I feel like Entourage and Suits are kind of the same thing. You kind of graduated from Entourage to Suits.
Okay. We'll have to wait until she does give some confirmation, but it is so refreshing to have someone with a normal name.
Yeah, it is. Do you guys think that Josh and Steph are now MILF and DILF?
Oh, 100%. I have to say, this child is a gorgeous child. It looks exactly like Steph Claire Smith. It's got the same profile or something.
Got the same
it's going
abs.
To be stunning. I don't know if it's got abs yet, but I do have to say they have been an absolute class act in the way that they have made this announcement, and I didn't expect any less from them. They took their private time away. They weren't, you know, Instagramming the labor. They weren't keeping their fans updated. It was very sophisticated, I felt, the way they put it out there. You know, they waited a number of days to release the information until they'd let it sink in themselves. And it gave them some private time to spend away from everyone as well.
Yeah, because Harvey was actually born on the 4th of May, very early in the morning. I think it was 1:21 a.m. to be exact. So, yeah, they've had a couple of days with him. And I love the fact that the photos they shared were very natural. You could tell there hadn't been a hair and makeup session. Look, this is not a dig at Skye Wheatley. I feel like it's hard not to compare the two birth announcements. And I think both have been very much what each of those mothers would have liked, and it sort of reflects them.
Yeah, that's right. Something I did really love, though, was the fact that Steph jumped onto the Keep It Cleaner Facebook community and made the announcement there. I thought that was a really nice touch because I feel like so many people in that community really do feel like she is a friend. So I found that really special because she did share photos that she hadn't yet put on her Instagram. So it was something special for them.
A very good PR move by Steph. Also, she's got in just in time for Mother's Day and the launch of Kick Bump. So talk about amazing timing.
Do you know what I couldn't believe? How many blue ticks were out there congratulating Steph?
Oh, I couldn't believe it either. I scrolled through and I've written a list of their names, but there's just too many to read out. But I suppose some of the surprising ones for me were the likes of Ashy Bynes, Ricky Lee Coulter, Rachel Finch, Megan Gale, Jacinta Campbell. She had a star-studded blue tick brigade in full force on her Instagram comments.
Yeah, it's easier to ask who didn't leave a congratulations on her post than who did, because it's insane how many people congratulated her.
I know I say I'm Cajun, but I don't fully believe it deep down. Like, Amber goes to me, Jemay, you're like hot, but you're like not like full-time hot. Like, you just have hot moments. She's such a fucking bitch. But it's kind of true. I'm a bit horsey. Anyway, I just wanted you guys to like relate to me more. So I wanted to be like honest and like break down the walls. And like, I know from some of your comments, a lot of you guys like, how can I be as quiche as you, Jemay? You're so incredible and like aspirational and you want to be me. But sometimes I'm just a fucking loser too, like you guys.
On Saturday, Sarah's Day married her long-term partner and baby daddy, Kurt Teals. The day was also special for another reason, with Salty's Day reactivating her account for the special occasion, sharing photos from Sarah's big day.
Now, Salty's Day, of course, is a hate account for Sarah's Day, which has over 8,000 followers.
Now, this page was deactivated a couple of months back, and sources that we've spoken to say it was because the girl's boyfriend actually discovered that she made this page. And I assume he said, look, this is disgusting.
Well, apparently the new person, the person that is running the account claims that it's a new person.
Oh, bullshit. They're the same person. They've just discovered some fancy features on Canva. The reason I know that they are the same person is because they also have the same hatred still towards us. We have appeared a few times on their Instagram story now again.
Yeah, I know. Well, the funny thing is, I feel like they have returned not only to shit on Sarah's Day's wedding, but also because they think that they're the new celeb spell check. So as well as critiquing Sarah's wedding, they decided to put a question box up asking who their followers would also like them to critique.
Can, I mean, basically. The question was literally, oh, who else do you hate that we can talk about? Yeah. Like, and this person does not have the flair of celeb spell check or the knowledge of influencers.
Do you think that they should just rename their new account just Salty? Yeah. It is Salty instead of Salty's Day.
Yeah. We should probably get into the wedding. Let's move away from Salty's Day.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I first saw the photos, I was really surprised by the aesthetic. I thought it looked beautiful, but it really wasn't what I was expecting.
Are you serious? It was so Byron Bay. It was so Sarah and Kurt.
No, it was more that I think the aesthetic was what I was expecting. I think Sarah's dress was a little bit different to what I was expecting. But the more I've seen the dress, the more I actually really like it and think it's like it fit her so perfectly.
Well, a lot of people have said that the top of the dress actually looked like her swimwear. And I do really think it was echoing that. I did find it rather interesting because I had a look at all of Sarah's posts about her wedding on Instagram. And interestingly, she tagged almost every vendor involved in the wedding except the dress. So she tagged the makeup artist, the hairdresser, photographer, florist, pastor, event company, and even the brand of jewelry and biodegradable confetti. However, I couldn't find a tag for her wedding dress anywhere. I then had a look in the comments and I saw the designer, which is Alina Lenny. I'm sorry if I've pronounced that wrong. And she was desperately trying to get noticed. So she wrote, Sarah looked beyond beautiful in our Monstria gown. Again, I think I've pronounced that wrong. But I'm not very good at wedding dresses.
I actually did see Sarah a week or two before the wedding sharing a photo at that bridal boutique store saying, oh, I've collected the dress. So I don't think she was trying to hide
was. But why wouldn't she tag the wedding dress company if she's literally tagged the person who did her hair, makeup,
because she might have got everything else for a discounted rate or something, and maybe not the dress, or maybe she's just forgotten.
Well, I also did a little bit of stalking because whenever I see a influencer or celebrity's wedding dress, I'm really interested to know how much it cost. I know that's very pervy, but I did a stalk and I found the website, and of course there was no pricing. So for me, I thought, okay, it must be extremely expensive. However, I continued to Google and another bridal store listed Sarah's dress as costing $1,925.
Wow, that's pretty quite reasonable. Bargain.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked to be honest, because I would think a huge wedding like Sarah's Day, she would have spent more money on the dress, but maybe she spent more on the actual location of the wedding. And I actually kind of like that she spent that amount on her dress.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I thought it would be like $5,000-$10,000. Maybe she spent all the money on flowers, because Willow and Bear did her flowers, and I was pretty shocked because Sarah shared an Instagram story before the wedding of the flower truck arriving, and it literally was a truck full of flowers, and she had that amazing floral arch where she got married in front of, and that looked stunning. Did you notice that there were bits of dried like citrus fruit hanging off?
Well, that's very Sarah's Day to have fruit there. I do think the flowers must have been some sort of sponsorship deal though, because she did share a lot and tag the company numerous times.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the only fruit that was around. There were literally like big pieces of rock melon cut up on the ground. When I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, that is exactly what a self-proclaimed holistic health princess. I was concerned about the bugs. I'm like, is there going to be a swarm of ants?
I don't think people were eating the fruit after, though.
No, but I mean for the aesthetic. Like, you don't really want ants running around.
Thank God they don't have fruit fly like they've got here in South Australia. I love the fact that she was trying to be one of the people by having these DIY vases that she made on Instagram. Mm.
Yeah, well, they really did match the flowers. So that was that terracotta and kind of dusty pink vibe, blush vibe, I should say. What did you guys think about Kurt's getup? Because he was copping a lot of flack online about wearing a hat and sneakers.
Look, he didn't actually wear the hat during the ceremony. So I actually personally thought he looked really nice without the hat. But then again, The hat was very much him as well.
To be honest, I could imagine my boyfriend doing the same thing. He's obsessed with his Akubra hat.
He loves a hat.
He loves getting out and about in his hat. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If that's their style, they can go for it. I personally would love to wear sand shoes instead of awful, uncomfortable shoes on my wedding day. And I suppose because it was more of a Byron, relaxed vibe, it did kind of suit the aesthetics of the wedding.
Was Sarah wearing sneakers? Because that, I mean, Steph Claire Smith wore them at her wedding, it seems like, since Hailey Bieber wore them. But I don't think she was. I think she was wearing heels.
I saw heels. I've got to say that they've been really promoting elements of Byron amazingly well, because it just made me want to go there. And it made me think, wow, having a destination wedding seems like the right idea, because it just seemed like one huge holiday for you, your friends and your family.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have that many people that I'd want to invite to my wedding. So maybe...
That's a good way, isn't it? Because you're like, oh yeah, I just invited special, like just a close just number of friends.
And wedding. Cut out any people you don't want to go.
I mean, you do say that it was a good ad for them, but then on Sarah's Instagram today, I did see that she said that Kurt Tills was throwing up on the night of their wedding, and a couple of the bridal party were also throwing up. Jeez. So they're not sure if it is a bug that was circulating or whether they got food poisoning from somewhere.
I did hear Sarah say on her Insta story, oh, we weren't sure because we were smashing gluten-free cupcakes after, and we weren't sure if our bodies weren't used to all the sugar.
Well, they said they were drinking as well, which again is not usual for Sarah. She did share that she had a few wines at her sister's wedding. So, you know, wines there and then wines at this wedding.
Yeah, their bodies probably aren't used to it. Yeah.
This is probably a bit too much information, but she also did reveal that she had her period on the wedding day, which would be an absolute nightmare. I feel sorry for her. Imagine wearing white and it's like the first day of your period.
That would be an absolute pain in the ass. It at least is putting people off on this whole baby thing that people are trying to push, because Sarah has been pretty open that she's looking to fall pregnant at the end of this year. And now a lot of people are like, oh, well, now that your wedding's over, are you pregnant? She's like, I've got my period.
I just find it so unhelpful for people to be trying to guess when people are pregnant, because you never know if someone's going to incur issues with trying to have a baby. Yeah. So I just don't think it's great to be asking questions like that.
It's pretty insensitive.
To wrap it up, I think we have to have our final comments on the ring, because it was a rather interesting wedding band. It did actually look like her Sunny App logo, because it had the little kind of dashes up the top.
Yeah, kind of look like a pineapple, someone said. And she also got an eternity ring that kind of rounds out that pineapple shape. And an eagle-eyed member of our community actually spotted it and said, that's actually a Natalie Marie piece of jewelry. And both of those items apparently cost $4,500. Wow. So maybe they skimped a little bit on the dress and went for the rings.
The you that I know. The you that I know would have walked in here and rolled your eyes and thought this was completely over the top, ridiculous, and stupid. Look at this shower! Look at that fucking cookie! Did you really think that this group of women was gonna finish that cookie? Really? Oh, you know what? That reminds me, actually. I never got a chance to try that fucking cookie! Ooh, delicious, stupid cookie!
Winnie Blues caused a sensation whilst hosting a confession-themed Q&A on her Insta story. The influencer shared an unverified story from an anonymous woman who wrote, I was fucking Zac Efron from April till July before anybody knew he was even in Australia. Winnie added to the story, can confirm I know this person and it's true.
I love that she followed up with a little bit of a review from the said anonymous girl. So Winnie shared a screenshot of her text messages back and forth with this girl, and Winnie wrote on the screenshot, seeing about a million girls have messaged me in regards to what Zac Efron is like in bed, I asked my friend on your behalf. So the conversation read like this, let's just say he's all about pleasing the girl. And then the response was, ha ha ha. And then genuinely, ha ha. So fucking funny. When you come up, I'll tell you about it. He's the nicest guy I have ever met.
Wow.
Thoughts?
I bet that he is absolutely loving this press at the moment, because as if he wasn't irresistible enough being Zac Efron, now he's got these details out about him. I do wonder if it's someone in his PR team who's trying to push these stories. Like, yeah, he's really great in bed.
Especially mentioning the timeline. Like, oh no, it was before Vanessa. Yeah.
Can you guys imagine though, if this was some huge female celebrity that had come to Australia and these guys were putting up screenshots of how good she was in bed? Do you think there'd be a different narrative to it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that person would be slut shamed.
It was so confusing because when I first saw this story pop up on the Daily Mail, they had shared a photo of Zac Efron next to Winnie Blues. So when I saw it, because I didn't really know who she was before, I assumed it was the girl that Zac Efron had slept with.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty deceptive. I mean, it wouldn't be great if you were Winnie Blues if you had a boyfriend. Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's not the worst thing being linked to Zac Efron, I suppose, but
it's kind of like that time, and we may have spoken about this on the podcast yeah, before, but for those who haven't heard, Kate, Sophie and I and our best friend Owen, we were once photographed alongside Gary from Geordie Shore. So we met him at a nightclub appearance.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then below the article, it says Gary brags about sleeping with over 1,000 women. It looked like we were one of them.
I think we've got to share that photo on.
I don't even know where it is.
I've got the photo.
Yeah, but does anyone have the headline? Because like, it was actually quite hilarious.
It's funny because that was when we worked in news and a couple of the producers were like, you should sue for defamation.
Well, I found the timing of this all interesting because there has been a theory circulating that Zac actually met Vanessa Valladares in December 2017. However, I think this theory is completely stupid because it's based on a fact that someone commented on one of her old Instagram posts saying, take care, God bless you and Zac. Like, really? Is Zac Efron the only Zac in Vanessa's life?
Well, saying that, the timeline does actually match up because Zac Efron was here in December 2017 and his good mate Kyle Sanderland said on radio that they were together for a lot longer than everyone previously thought.
I love how Kyle is just spilling the tea on Zac Efron. Like, he announced their breakup. If Zac was with Vanessa since 2017, I don't think this revelation around this girl sleeping with him is really great.
I don't think they're saying that they've been together since 2017. I think they're saying maybe they had a little fling when he was here in Australia and then he came back and it was more of a relationship.
Well, I feel better about that now. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you have enjoyed today's show, could you please make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and also make sure you are subscribed to the podcast?
And we'd love to see where you're listening from, so please share a story on your Instagram and tag us in it.
And we will be putting up that photo of us with Gary from Geordie Shore in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
I'm sure Owen, our best friend, is going to be thrilled because she's in the photo.
We will also be discussing all of the topics on today's show, so make sure you join us in there.